Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on? This is Jay Ross here at Soul Cravers Radio, and I'm doing a special day and time with a very talented good friend of mine, Mr. Singer-Songwriter, I said, in the house.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going?
Good.
All right.
Good. It's so many exciting things that is going on with you right now. You're about to release another album.
Yep, about to release another album. It's coming next month. So I'm pretty geeked about it.
Oh, yeah, me too. And the title of it is Interpretation. So is this a concept album, and where did the title come from?
It is a concept album. When you see the cover, it's going to kind of seem like it's apples. I got one person told me it's like apples and oranges, but that was the whole point. That was the whole point of it. You know, like, it's how you interpret whatever that, you know, I can write something and I have my own interpretation of how I write something.
Mm-hmm.
But when you let someone else hear it and they listen to it, they have their own interpretation of what the message is in the song as well. So that's the reason why I named the interpretation. So it's like, however did you interpret the song? You know, I have my story, but it resonates to someone else in their own way. I just write the story, but, you know, everything means something for somebody else differently.
Exactly. And, you know, with me, because you really have a massive career, and this is not new to you, you know, being in the route that you're in, the indie route. So I consider you like an independent artist. So you've been doing this, and I believe your first album came out in 2011. Am I correct?
Correct. But I had a not too many people know about this, but I had a release in 2008 with me and Coltrane called Love Meaning.
Oh yeah, but I consider that y'all group.
No, that was me. I independently paid for that and put that out myself.
So that is yours. definitely. And you know,
right.
And then, you know, just your whole career, you know, working behind the scenes as not just an artist, but as a songwriter, producer as well. It's just like overwhelming, because you caught my eye. Because I used to go to the record store in Hollywood, which is called Amoeba, and I used to see your album right there. And I was like, okay, let me check this cat out. And I used to see it. And then when I played it, I said, wow. I've been a fan since then. And so, you know, every album that you came out with, it just had a different bass production and sound. So nothing did not sound the same.
Right.
And that's what I like about you. So are you more of a more experimental artist, you say?
Yes and yes. I have to think about that. I love to experiment, but I don't like to lose people in the experiment.
Gotcha.
I mean, I know I'm doing it for me, but at the same token, I'm doing it for the music lovers. You know what I mean? So, I'm not being selfish about it when I do production, but at the same token, it, you know, I don't know what I'm doing when I'm doing the production a lot of times. So it's like when it comes out, it's, you know, if it's something that I feel or I'm feeling it, then it comes, then it's like, those are the ones that I choose. Now, trust, I do make trash. I can let people hear the trash too, but you know, at the same token, I make the stuff that I'm really feeling that resonates to me. is the stuff that is being that comes out.
But at least you're honest as an artist of what you think that is good for your brand, because pretty much you have creative control of all of what you do in your music. And I see that, actually don't see it, I feel it, because of what you put out there. And I feel it's genuine and it's from the heart. So it's like you're not
right.
trying to fit into nobody's category or criteria. You're just here to make music that you feel that is good for you, for people can hear it. So it's not
correct.
Like a thinking process. It's not like it's not a thinking process. It's like, oh, okay, I see where he's coming from with it. And, you know, and every album, like I said, is different. And my favorite, I'm not going to lie, my favorite project is All In My Mind.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. And then the other one is What are we looking for? So when I heard these two, and then when I heard what are we looking for, I was just like, wow, I was just astounded. And then the guest appearances on there, I was just like, oh, okay, I see what he's doing. I mean, you
were
with some great people. You did.
Right. Yeah, I do the best I can with what I do, and the collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good too. You know, I like working with different people. That, I mean, I like doing. I can work by myself,
uh-huh.
but I can also work with other people as well. I mean, I'm very, I guess, unorthodox, if you want to say that. Like, there's no method to my madness in that sense. So yeah.
And I see that. And so, with this new album, you going into a major label, which is Mo Funk Records. What is the experience with this album? The last album came out, like, I believe 4 years ago. That's the last project
correct.
You did? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so what was different? So what's different? Okay.
This album is, as far as my interpretation of it. I basically reached back to the music that I grew up listening to. So it's like, you know, records are basically our friends. So I grew up on
exactly.
vinyl.
Oh, me too.
I've been collecting vinyl since I was 3 and 4 years old. Seriously. So
I was set.
The thing is, so those things, music, is I just absorbed it, basically. So, like, you have a library of music that you are influenced by. Well, I do. I have a library of people that I'm very influenced by, and I reach into that book, and I get what I get from those people, not to jack them, but really like be inspired by them, if that makes sense.
Oh, no. Inspired.
And then I create what I create. I mean, like I say, you know, you hear a lot of people say, like, this is my style you know, it's my sound and things like that. Like, nobody never made this sound before. But I'm just like, it came from somewhere. Like, whether it's a bird or an airplane flying in the air, is, you know, sound, your influence comes from somewhere. It's not going to just pop out. So, you know, I always give the credit where credit is due. I'm happy that I have, in my lifetime, I've worked with some of the people that has been a major influence with me. And I'm very grateful, you know, and I'm just grateful to them. I mean, like, we didn't come here alone. We was birthed up from an individual, but in this world, we are all connected. So that's how
exactly.
I look at things. Yeah.
Exactly. And so with this new project, the first single, we're going to go into that one called Reflect. And this is a major collabo with, wow, three artists.
Yeah.
And they're part of the label that you're with also, you know. And
yeah. XL Middleton.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I said,
okay,
so, go ahead.
Okay, so XL Middleton played the solo, and of course, Monica, and then Risha Archibald, she's from where I'm from, St. Louis, but she's now on tour with Kanye and his choir.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because I know a lot of people that's part of that choir, too. They still on tour with them, too, you know.
Right.
It's a longevity with that choir. I give them that. And,
you know,
with the, and then, like, with this song, because you kept me up. Dated where everything was going on with it, and then you was like, "Hey, I dropped a video also for it." I was like, "Oh, okay, I see that. I see what my brother doing, and you know,
right.
I'm very proud of it." And so we're gonna get into the single right now. So I want you to introduce it to everybody out there for it.
Okay, well, this is the first single off of the Interpretations album called "Reflect," featuring Monica, XL Middleton, and Risha Archibald.
On Soul Cravers Radio.
right on.
Fire. Yeah. It's still fire. Fire, fire. I hear some 80s elements in there. It gave me, that song gave me a Solar Taboo feel. And that's what it gave me.
That makes more sense than none, because the two influences are set of producers.
Come on now.
Yeah,
I know.
That influenced me for that record.
And that is so crazy, because that's what I see where this is going into with this new album. So I said, if I hear more of this on this new album, then I know what the element and the flow of the album is giving, you know. And who was the producers and collaborations on this project?
There's only one other producer than myself on this album. Well, let me take it back. I'm going to say that there's one other producer on this album other than myself, and that's Leon Silvers the Fourth.
Whoa.
Not the third, not the father, but the son.
Wow, that is dope. Because I
have
probably. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I want you to go ahead.
I was about to say, you know, I can hear he has probably a heavily influenced, like his dad, you know, on this project.
He got his own thing, though. I have to say, I've me and him known each other for some years, so he definitely got his own thing. He of course he is influenced by his father and everything like that, but he definitely has his own identity, and you'll be hearing more from him.
Oh yeah, because I'm telling you, we're gonna get into an exclusive later on, you know.
That's the joint. That's the joint that he did, and I'm very proud of that. And I have another person that actually did an additional production. So he did what he did was major, but he programmed the drum, so he added production.
Oh wow!
His name is Centipede, and he's from he lives in St. Louis. But I know he's not from St. Louis. I'm not sure. I can't give you the actual place. I don't want to lie on him.
But actually, I see that you more are working, and then your base of work is all indie artists, which I love. That you work with some great people from the past previous projects, like Jametta Rose, that's my girl. Thundercat, and you know, these are pretty much LA based people that still doing what they love, and I appreciate the arts, because you all in this indie movement make me keep going, because when you guys put out good music, I'm gonna support it. I'm going to promote it. I'm going to go out and let people know that you guys are out doing music like this, because this is what we need in these times, especially because it's like people is trying to divide and conquer genres because of what's out there.
I just got through listening to Questlove Supreme, right? And he did an interview with Johnny Gill. Johnny Gill was just talking about how industry is now, how they are categorizing everything, which a lot of times things don't really need to be categorized.
That's true.
It is very true, because I mean, like, we're constantly creating music that you really can't put it into a certain category. You would literally have to constantly make up a category. So people are constantly making music that is just new, and they don't know what to do with it, or they don't know what box they want to put that in. And it does, you know, like, music is not even supposed to be like that anyway.
Exactly.
You know, because
because we grew up in a genre where we looked at music as music, and so it's like we didn't category like as being black music, white music, any kind of creed or color music. It just was music to us because it gave us a feeling. Because, you know, I grew up listening to different types of music, and I know you had too, you know, so pretty much we got the same type of taste of music, you know, that we,
right,
you know, grew up and listened to. So, you know, in our times when we were young in the 80s, all we grew up seeing was like a lot of white artists on TV, like the Duran Duran, Culture Club, Flock of Seagulls. We saw all that because we grew up watching that, because at that time it wasn't a lot
of
black music. Yeah, a lot of black music that were showcased in videos, and we had to search for that until BT came out with it. But a lot of us households, we couldn't afford cable.
Right.
So we
right.
had to wait late at night on Saturday nights to watch these artists' videos, and we be so mesmerized because it's our own that has videos out. They have the singles out, but they don't have the visual out.
Right.
You know? And so now
right.
it's like everything's just so much changed now. So it's like everything is all like a gumbo now.
It is. And I agree with that. I agree with that. But I will say black music is black music. And black music is pretty much all music. I'm going to say
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and I'm saying it's true. It's true. I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say that.
And I think like with the whole movement of things with the people, like I said, segregating, it's like music is music, you know. It is what it is with music. And you know, and like with your music, it's music. But I see creativity and from the heart with your music.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're not trying to be like nobody else. And that's what I love about everything you release. It was like, oh, man, but you took too long on me.
Hey,
but
you know, only thing I got to say about that is, like, if you want some bomb gumbo, it takes time.
Right. Everything simmers. It takes
time. Yeah, it takes time. If you want it to be good, I'm not going to put an album out every 3 months. That's the new thing now, and I don't know nothing about that life, you know. So for me, I want to be able to live. I want to be able to feel something wherever that I'm at, whatever point I am in life. I want to feel that, and I want to be able to express that. And that's
right.
not going to be something that's going to happen in 6 months, 3 months, 2 months.
Right.
1 month, you know, I can write things about stuff for other people. Now, me producing other people, I don't have a problem with that, you know, because the thing is, when I'm working with other people, I'm getting something else from that person that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a different kind of, it's different when you're working with another artist or a group or whatever like that. You're getting something else from them, and that's another energy that you working with that will make it even different. So it won't sound like an I Said record. It's gonna sound like a Jametta Rose record, or it'll sound like, you know, that I'm working with, like how my other albums have been. That when I'm working with other people, it does not sound the same.
Exactly.
Really.
And
yeah.
that's what I know about, like, with like, the artist. And, like, when I talked to Tawatha, when she was with Entume, they was Entume, and then when they worked with other artists, the other artists sound different. So they were not trying to force their sound on them. So they didn't just go in there and say, hey, sing like this, how we sing. No, they had different style of singing. And, you know, and with you being an artist, you want the concept on your own, but when you go to an outside, which is different artists, you want them to be authentic as themselves and not trying to force your sound on them. And that's what I noticed about your sound. And I'm like, I don't believe he did this. Because it sounds different from the stuff that you do. And that's why I like your style of songwriting, producing, the instrumentation, the everything. I mean, it's on point. Like,
I appreciate
point.
That.
Yeah, because, you know, I listen. And so I critique everything. So when I critique everything, that means because it's coming from a genuine place.
Mm-hmm.
And what I figure why you took so long is you wanted everything to be in the center where everything's going to be good. But I have a feeling, and I know for myself, that you're gonna do good with this one.
I'm gonna do the best I can with this one. I mean, I did the best I could with the other ones, and everything is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you learn a lot from your previous stuff to make your next stuff better.
Exactly.
You know, so like even with the What Are We Looking For album, that was an experience. So I learned a lot of lessons from that. Even All in My Mind was an experience, because that was my first album that was my first project that I ever had that was released.
Gotcha.
But then What Are We Looking For was a release that I put out.
Right.
Then Visions, the EP of Visions, that was something that I was trying to keep up with what was going on, like, you know, what I was telling you earlier, like me trying to put out an album every year or every 6 months and all that stuff like that, just to try to keep my name out there. But then I thought about it, I'm just like, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that to myself. That'll kill my whole vibe of even being creative, just being a machine. We're not machines, so... I just want to give my best out. I'll keep my trash, though.
Well, like they said, another man's trash is somebody's treasure, you know? So, hey,
yeah.
It probably might be good to, you know, put the trash out, you know, and see if it, you know, be collected to see
we'll
how
see.
It sounds. So you answered that too fast because you're like, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And so with this exclusive, I'm excited about this one right here. I actually listened to it last night, and I had a moment with it, with this track that we're about to play.
What was the moment?
It was like a wow experience. It was like a... I went in, I was like, okay, what are you trying to do? I said, I feel this one. And then I kept saying, okay, this is the second song off the album.
Off
I heard
the album.
That. I just was like, oh, wait, but this track is fire. I was just like, ooh, that thump in it. And it was like a head nod with it. And I just closed my eyes and I was just like, I feel this. And it caught me off guard because I was just like, oh, stay. Okay, let me see what this is all about. And then when I played it, I was just like, whoa. It's one of these inner experience songs that you have to put a headphone on. You can't just listen to it outside because it's like a moment that you have to get into it. And that's how I get into my music. Like, I got to have a moment. But this one, you put me in a moment, like real talk. I'm serious. I mean, I was like overwhelmed. And so,
well,
can
I'm
you
glad
tell
I
me about
my
how
job.
This, where you did? And I want, I just want to hear the whole story with this song called "Stay." I just want to hear the whole story. I'm gonna just sit back. I want to hear the story.
Well, "Stay," Leon. Well, he goes by SB. He sent me the track, and when I got the track, the track was just amazing. And I asked him, let me do something to this one, and he did. And then I just start piecing everything together, and I knew that I needed Monica. I knew I needed Monica, and I knew I needed Sofa. I needed Sofa Vasquez, and I needed Monica voices on this song. And yeah, I just wrote to it, and had a concept to it, and I needed some more voices on it. I didn't want it to be just all me, But again, that song, I have an interpretation of the story, and it is a story in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's a story in it, but I really want people to have their interpretation of that story. But I did, the main thing that I wanted to do with that song was put some class in the glass.
And I mean that when I said that this song took me there, it took me there. And I want you to introduce the song to everybody. This is an exclusive, y'all, until April of the album.
Yeah, April. So this song is called Stay, featuring SB, Stofa Vasquez, and Monica. Monica is like on three or four songs on this album.
Oh, I was about to ask you that. See, I'm going to ask you that later. Hey, you got to keep it in the Mo Funk family, y'all. I'm serious. Here we go, y'all.
Well, there's a lot more people. There's a lot more people on this album, to be very honest with you. Yeah, I'll tell you this. Me as the artist, I always wanted to be like the Quincy Jones. My album to be like a Quincy Jones album where it would have features of other people. So I didn't want to even treat like, I didn't even want to treat like the background thing. Like, you know, you have your background singers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just really did not want to treat them like they're background singers. I wanted to feature them on it because I really didn't want it to feel like it's so much of an I Said album, even though it is. But I didn't want to treat it like that.
Gotcha.
All these people that are on the album, they are on the album. They're not like background people. I don't want to treat them like that.
Yeah, so, and I see that. And I see that there, like every album that you have, you always have everybody up front. And that's what I like about it. And that's what I said. That was my interpretation of Quincy Jones.
The word interpretation.
Right. So here we are, guys, the exclusive of Stay. This is the first time you guys are going to hear it on Soul Crazers Radio. So y'all better get y'all some. Here we go. All right. Oh, man. So, are we going to see a visual from this?
So, yes, you will.
So, yep. Is it going to be a second single, or are you just going to let it be?
I don't know, but you will find out.
Okay, because I'm telling you, I was just like, I mean, I had a moment with this song. Like,
nice.
I was like,
it's the
way
it,
and just the way it fade out. Like, see, that's what I like, authentic music like that. I like when the music fade out. I don't like anything just cut off. I like a good old, good old vinyl fade with like some little popping and stuff on it to the next song come in, you know?
Right.
Give me a mood. I mean, everything is like microwave now. Everything is deep. You know, I can't do it.
Right.
I need a flow. And I think that this album is gonna. I'm serious. I need a pre-order. I'm gonna buy a vinyl. I'm buy a CD. I'm serious. I'm gonna support this project because.
Well, the great thing, this is the first project of a full length that I've had on vinyl that I will have on vinyl.
Wow.
The first full length that I of my career. This will be the first full length vinyl that I will have on vinyl.
Yeah. So how does it feel?
You know, I feel like I accomplished hiking up one mountain. That's what it feels like. I'm going to say this. I had a time trying to get the other albums on vinyl.
Oh, really?
The cost of these vinyls are not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are, you know, going through GoFundMe and those type things like that. And I guess pride would not allow me to do that to people. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's just, I think that was just my own way of thinking. Kind of messed it, you know, just asking your crowd to fund something, and then you got to figure out all the extra things to do for it. That it would be good if I was an established artist, you know, like the whole wide world knows who Said is, you know, type of thing. But
exactly.
But the reality is, like, I don't have that, so it's like you have to really be either A, creative about it, or or B, have the money.
Exactly.
That's what it boils down to. But so I'm just grateful to XL Middleton and the whole Mo Funk that's able to put this out on vinyl, because like I said, I couldn't even figure out what to do
to
get the other stuff on vinyl. Yeah.
Right.
So literally this feels like I hiked up a mountain.
Cause I think your other stuff deserves some vinyl treatment too, you know?
Yeah. At some point it definitely will. Especially what are we looking for? What are we
looking for
is the main one that I am going to have on vinyl. It's just going to take time. That's all.
And, you know, and to me, to be in contact with you like this, not just on this radio station, but outside of this, and just talking to you, and just you are like the most determined person I ever met.
Mm-hmm.
But your time setting, everything is a timing with you. So it's like you're not trying to just throw everything out there, but you still want to be seen. But everything I see, like when I like talk to you, when I see what you post on Instagram, I said, this is the most determined person I ever met. I mean,
yeah.
You just motivated, just do everything, just everything that you put your mind to. And I feel that when people get to go into your catalog, because now I can say you have a catalog, because you do have a catalog.
Correct.
I tell the artist that if you have more than four albums out your whole career, you have a catalog.
Correct.
You are an established artist. That means that you could go out and tour and sing your whole album.
And not bore anybody with one album.
Right. Exactly. Because you never bored me with none of your albums. Your albums, that's why I said every album is so kaleidoscope. Everything is different. It's not it's not just one force. Because it's like I hear a lot of influences that what you grew up musically into. And
right.
And that's what made me had a really strong appreciation about you. Because I was like, okay, I want to see what you're going to come out with this album. And then that's when I kept asking you, hey, when the single coming out? Oh, the single going to come out. And then I said, okay, who's it going to be on? Then you told me. I said, oh.
Yeah.
I got definitely hear it. And so when I heard it, I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, XL Middleton is definitely he's definitely a brother to me. So I mean, shout out to the whole MoFunk family. But this album, I love it. I mean, it's different from the other one, but I truly love it.
And
I love it.
And I think this is to me. I have like a category of most highly anticipated releases.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Clark Sisters release coming up.
I'm definitely a Clark Sisters fan, big time. Hold up, I gotta do a rewind. So you interviewed Tawatha on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to that interview. But what James M. Toomey, he knows, and because I let him know. That when I was, I guess, like 3 or 4, I had 2 albums. One was Shalamar Big Fun.
Oh.
And the other one was Stephanie Mills' Sweet Sensation.
Oh.
And those were my 2 first albums that were mine. I had 45s though. I had the donuts because you know, like back in that them times, we had those portable record players.
Right.
And so I just remember me having like Parliament Flashlight, Rolls Royce, Love Don't Live Here Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a Donna Summers 45. I don't remember the name of it though. But I remember I had those. I had a Casablanca 45, but 45s that I do remember just like in my early development, right, was my Stevie Wonder. Of course, the Tamla label has always been my favorite label on the turntable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like it's a bird spinning around on your turntable.
Right.
There's labels that I love to look at on a turntable.
I like looking at the Gordy label. I love looking at the Gordy label. And it's
I like
just
the Taboo
like,
label.
Yeah, the Taboo. Yeah, same one with that one. It's just like when these albums, and it's so weird that, like I said, I am interviewing people I grew up with that play a big part of my life of who I am as a man musically.
Mm-hmm.
And then with going to different genres, like you, one of them, and then the other artists that I'm going to be interviewing later on, it's so many depths I could get into stories where I would play one of your albums and it was just like I could tell you what I was doing in that moment. Like, for instance, let me think. When I heard I Am Love with Jametta Rose, Mm-hmm. I was in a low time of my life. And mm-hmm. I just played that song, and it just like, it was like an uplift for me. And it was so weird
wow.
that every time I would shuffle my playlist, every day that song would play. I lied to you not.
Nice.
And it was just like, okay, what is going on? What is going on? And I just was like, it was just an inspiring thing because I say to people, I love these artists, but I love the genuine person they are because they believe in their craft and they're not trying to fit in to sell and be out there like that. It's because you guys have a fan base and you guys nurture yourself as artists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're very cautious of not letting people try to change you and put you in this format, in this box right here and there. That's what I love about you guys.
Well, here's the funny thing I can tell you. Like, my life is in such of a bubble that
mm-hmm.
a lot of times I don't even think that people even hear it.
Wow.
So it's like I don't get a lot of feedback from the work that I do. So I'm not even aware how many people are hearing it up until I had went to Europe.
Oh.
When I went to Europe, that was a whole nother, man, I was not expecting that at all. I'll give you a funny story, man. I went to a party in London, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend of mine. He's like a brother to me out there. His name is Mr. Dex. And he
mm-hmm.
was DJing. Mm-hmm. We walked outside, right? And
mm-hmm.
he had me talk to, you know, some folks that he knew. And I was in the middle of a circle. I thought I was about to get jumped. I introduced myself as Cedric. He said, I know who you are. I said, you work with Coltrane. You work with such and such. You work with this person. And so the thing is, this dude ran my resume down.
Wow.
So I wouldn't have never known that. Or I didn't know that
right.
anybody was listening. That was like, man, y'all, I have to come all the way over here to recognize that people is recognizing what it is that I'm doing and, you know, that kind of thing like that. And then
yeah,
on top of that, I really, and then, you know, like me being an L.A. person, you know,
uh-huh.
when you're out in L.A., you're supposed to tell people, like, all the stuff that you do.
Right.
Who you worked with and that kind of thing like that. I don't really do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't tell people all of the people that I've worked with and who I've been in contact with. I don't really feel like that's necessary because I just want the work to speak for itself.
Exactly. And that's what I think, like I said, you're genuine with your work, but like a lot of things where people do stuff, they don't think people are listening until, like, you run into them. And then, like, for instance, like, with my thing, what I'm doing, I didn't know people was actually sharing and tagging me in and doing all this other stuff with it. And it takes the people that you don't know to support you because you out
right.
here critiquing yourself and thinking that nobody's not listening, but they actually are listening because our expectations, we always want family and friends to support at all matters. And then when you have outside people that appreciate what you're doing, especially the arts,
right?
It's very overwhelming and humbling, you know?
Right. Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. So I thank you so much for taking the time to celebrate
you,
with me with this album.
Oh, man, I did not realize the time was over.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, I said when we be on this hour thing, we it'd be good because we get into it. And so, you know, the flow of it is real good. But I appreciate your energy, bro. You know, we're going to be talking soon. I'm going to be supporting.
Okay.
We're going to be talking. I want to be at the album listening party. I want to pre-order.
Wait a minute. Before we get off here.
Uh-huh.
You got to come to the record shop. Salt Box. It's in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sleep on my record store.
Yes, I'm serious. I'm making a trip down there next week, Saturday. Actually, I am gonna make a trip.
All right.
See what y'all got in them crates.
Make sure. Yeah, no, we got records up in there. Salt Box.
Oh,
records.
I know. I see.
Yeah.
I follow. So I look. I said, ooh, okay. I mean, y'all got some crate diggers. Like stuff that I need in my life. I already got too many as it is already, but you know the record store is phenomenal. By the way, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, so, show up, and man, just show up, buy
mm-hmm.
some records because I know that you will. You're gonna see something that you like. You're gonna see something that you may not see it nowhere else, and you may see something that you may see somewhere else. But at least you have the option. Of knowing what's in the shop.
Exactly.
And you never know who you're going to run into either.
Oh, see, don't tell me that.
You never know.
So tell everybody where can they follow you at on social media to keep up with you.
Okay, I'm mainly on Instagram. So only one, what is it? Is it only the number one, CED.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mainly on there. I'm on Facebook now only because I'm promoting the album.
That's a good old plug right there.
Yeah, but I'm not consistently on Facebook, but yeah, I'm on Facebook, so I have an I Said page. I have an I Said group. And I think that I'm Said No on Facebook, and Twitter is I_CED.
And the album Interpretations would be out in April, correct?
In April on Mo Funk Records.
Yes.
And it will be it'll be the first full length of an I Said project on vinyl.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And then also you could get the single that's out right now, Reflect, that's available on all digital platforms. I thank you guys for listening and looking out for me. Thank you, I Said. Again, bro, it means a lot. And
no problem.
Like
I want you to see, you're going to be flying. You're going to be flying with the soul Cravers.
I'm trying.
It's
going to
fly
trying.
For you.
But they
don't
ain't ready for
this. Do it like Nike.
Well, they ain't ready for the second season because it's gonna be mind blowing. It's a whole bunch of work with it. So yeah, y'all ain't ready.
All right.
So thank you guys for listening at this special day and time. I will see you guys on Sunday. Well, I have two shows going on, so check that out. Thank you guys for listening. Have a blessed one. Good night.
All right, now peace.